The individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Step outside of your comfort zone. See the world with a whole new perspective. Join us and experience the unexplained on The Paranormal View.
And welcome, everybody, right here to The Paranormal View on the Para-X Radio Network. I want to thank everybody for taking time to be with us tonight. Those listening from in the chat room and those listening from around the world, we appreciate each and every one of you. Tonight, we are broadcasting live from Gettysburg from the Ghost Exchange. And I had a little bit of technical difficulties, which I still have to get the box up. So I will be getting that up. And so just bear with me for a minute, and I will see what we can do about bringing this up.
Box up.
And let's see here. Yeah, I got to get the page up. I lost it when I was redoing everything. So
you mean the browser window?
Browser window, yes.
Those technical terms.
It's a technical term. And
yeah, the Doomaflachi.
Yeah, the Doomaflachi.
The whatchamacallit thing.
The MacGuffin.
What you will hear noise in the background because the window is up and or the doors are open and you'll be able to hear all the sounds. So looks like I am back.
The whatchamacallit thing.
What you will hear noise in the background because the window is up and or the doors are open and you'll be able to hear all the sounds. So looks like I am back in
the whatchamacallit thing.
Back in the chat room.
We'll
hear noise in the background because the window is up and or the doors are open and you'll be able to hear all the sounds. So
browser window
like
sound.
I am
back. The whatchamacallit thing.
All right. How's that?
That better? Caught in the Kurt Vonnegut's Kronos and Classic Infundibulum.
Yeah, I had something over top of it and couldn't.
Yeah, that too. Is that better, right. better?
We got with us, we have with us Pamela Berry, who is the owner of the Ghost Exchange.
Yeah.
We have with us Steve Shockley.
Yeah. Who's that?
Him.
Pretty much.
And we have Don Allison.
I know Steve Shockley too.
And I know him.
So we did an investigation last night at the Battlefield Brew Works, and we will be getting into that in a little bit with all those who were participating there. But we want to find out about what Pamela Berry does here with the Gettysburg Ghost Exchange.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for being at the Ghost Exchange. We are the largest paranormal store in the northern little cove here on the East Coast. We started out with a dream and we just kind of built our way up. We have paranormal equipment. We have a Reiki room. We have stones and fossils and crystals. And we do some investigations with the public, and we are going to be doing it's called Hallowed Grounds Tours. We're going to be taking people out in a limo and showing them different parts of Gettysburg.
All right. So how long have you been doing this?
The paranormal field.
Yeah. Let's just get right into that.
I have been paranormal before paranormal was cool.
Oh, that sounds like Steve. He's paranormal too.
My entire life. I just didn't have a label.
You're not as old as me, though.
Well, I'm right up there, buddy.
So, have I lost anybody else? Are you guys there? Barbara?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
I fell off. I'm back.
Okay, you guys scared me, man. So, you guys can just jump in anytime and ask questions. So,
well, that's if I don't get dropped off, as Skype is making me go silent every so often, and I'm stuck.
Well, that's okay. So it has been very warm here in Gettysburg yesterday and today.
Thank God.
Has it been really cold here still?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, I hate it. I hate the cold. I'm ready for tourist season to come back. I'm ready to do some investigating outside. I'm ready to get to Saks Bridge and Suicide Bridge and just investigate.
Well, I've heard of Saks Bridge. What is Suicide Bridge?
Well, you know, Gettysburg has a lot of urban legend. Oh. So urban legend says that people have been committing suicide on the Eisenhower Bridge. Historically, it's been there, and it was used during the retreat by the Confederates.
And where was this bridge at?
It's on Red Rock Road.
I'm not sure where Red Rock Road is. Is it?
That's right by the Red Rocks, Harry.
It is. It's right by Saks Bridge.
Oh, it's close to Saks Bridge. Okay. All right. Is that the one out of the main highway before you turn down the road going to Saks Bridge?
No, this is off in a little little dark dirt road. It's a little iron bridge, and it's got some cool energy back there.
What is a bridge that they, every once in a while, they see the silhouette of someone hanging?
That's another urban legend of Gettysburg. Urban legend says that three Confederate soldiers were hung on the bridge, but that is just urban legend.
Okay.
The true story of Saks Bridge, why it's active, is because it was used as a retreat by the Confederates. And looking at the bridge, on the right-hand side, the bodies of the dead soldiers were lined up. On the left-hand side, those were critically wounded, knew that they were going to end up on the other side of the bridge. So that left an impression on the bridge.
So that's pretty interesting.
Anybody who falls from the bridge on the ground would leave an impression.
That would leave a big impression, especially if it was me.
Yeah, I guess that whole area around Saks Bridge is a vast open field hospital.
Right.
The very worst wounded, as I understand, from the Confederate side and their prisoners were left there after the retreat, the ones not able to travel.
Exactly. Some drowned because of the horrific rains on July the 4th.
Hmm. We were here last year and went to one of the bridges. I don't know what the bridge was, but someone invited me to walk down the pathway. Halfway down, there's a large log that goes across the path. Yeah. You have to step over it. Mm-hmm. When I got down to the small dam, between that log falling in the path and the little dam, I smelled the distinct, unmistakable aroma of black powder. And that's, you just don't discount things like that. This place is full of aromas. Today, in the back of my truck in Gettysburg Battlefield, I smelled pipe smoke coming from my back seat, like cherry, old-fashioned cherry tobacco.
You had a hitchhiker.
Yeah, I did.
Of course, you did clarify that you mean the back seat of your car, not from your back seat, like, you know,
yeah, seat of my or something. Truck. Yeah, the back seat of my truck. It was not on fire.
Now, Shock, what circa is that tobacco? What year?
I would say that tobacco probably life period was 1830s through 1870s.
So that had a different smell than what it is now.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
I never smoked any from back end, so I don't know.
Well, you should have. You were there. One of the things you didn't get from your guest, she's talking about the store here, but where is it?
The what?
Our store is located at 1015 Baltimore Pike in Gettysburg, right below Culp's Hill.
And you can Google it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's right. All kinds of neat stuff
here. Our store is actually on 2 acres of undisturbed battlefield, so there's always something happening in our store.
Really?
Across the street.
That
bottom of Culp. It long leads up to Culp's Hill.
The reason I say that, folks, is because sitting out front of the store, looking across the road, there's a sudden drop, looks like a pathway, maybe 8 or 10 feet wide. It's since been asphalted over, but it's very foggy tonight over there in the woods, and you can almost imagine, I didn't see anything, but you can almost imagine seeing something over in those woods.
Yeah, there's always something going bump in the night around here.
Really? And you're on land that's been undisturbed?
Undisturbed. Our property goes from the historic Baltimore Pike all the way back to the National Battlefield. I mean, National Cemetery.
Nice.
Into a triangle.
Oh.
That'd be so neat to investigate.
Yeah, and it's a very interesting shop, too. I always make a stop here when I'm in town.
Yes, you do, Don. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, what kind of things happen in the store?
Well, we've got, people were being pulled upon, their hair was being pulled, not in a mean way, but like somebody was trying to get someone's attention. So, this one day in particular, it was probably 5 or 6 people. They were like, what is going on? So, when the very last person got touched on the back of their neck, after we closed the store, we did an EVP session. And through the session, we say, do you know that the South lost the war? So if you know about the history of the battle, we were a Union stronghold right here. So that that would be a very poignant question. Do you know that the South lost the war? How do you feel about that? And our EVP said, we won. Wow. And then you hear me saying, wow. But I was validating that some equipment had gone off.
Wow.
That's a great EVP. You had shared that with me. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I think that's probably the best EVP I've ever gotten.
Is somebody playing with the REM pod back there? Because I keep hearing a loud or that high-pitched noise.
Nope.
No. Probably Henry is hungry again.
It has that distinctive, when you turn on a millimeter, that really high-pitched noise. That's what I'm hearing.
Oh. Nothing there. Going back to the EVP, what's interesting about that EVP is that they weren't aware that they won the war, yet we've gotten other EVPs that indisputably tell us that some of these spirits not only know what took place historically in their era, but they also know what modern technology is. We've had them identify cell phones and things like that. So some do have an awareness and some obviously don't. That's interesting.
Now, the activity here is a different kind of activity. Nobody's being pulled upon. I guess he had his answer that he needed.
Wow. So has anything been seen here, apparitions or anything?
No, it's mostly sounds.
Just sound.
We do a live streaming show every other Monday night, and there's always something banging or creaking, voices. I haven't seen any anything yet.
Okay.
We'll see.
Now, what about outside
so,
in the wooded area? Do you see things there?
People have gotten some pictures out there. Yeah.
I knew it.
No, I mean, you look across the street.
And you
can
see.
If they were going to be anywhere, that would be it.
Yeah.
They have an old barn back that way. Some crazy things happening around here. I mean, no matter where you step at in Gettysburg, you're on a part of the battle.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Even downtown.
And the energy around here just calls to you.
Very interesting. So, Jeff, you got some questions?
Not offhand. I'm curious as to why Craig Rupp probably isn't there, but that's just me.
Craig Rupp had some things that he was doing. That's why he hasn't been with us very much the whole time we've been here. So.
Oh. Yeah. Hopefully that means he's promoting and getting his film made so I can be in it.
He had some friends and stuff come in from out of town, so he's been spending a lot of time with them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, I'm curious, do you have seasonal haunts? Is there a more prevalent time when activity is stronger?
Well, we always do the Jenny Wade house on the anniversary of her death every year, no matter what day of the week it is, and we always have a lot of people that want to go with us. The Jenny Wade house has been a lot active for us. We are very good friends with the owners, and they allowed Steve and I to take Blue Star in there and actually trace and find out where Jenny Wade's body actually went. So it was a hypothesis before we all did that as to what happened and where the soldiers carried her up. And now that we, with the owners, found where she's at, now we actually can talk to her and say, Jenny, we know that you're here. So that has turned our investigations completely around. So so we do that. Now, I think, you know, of course, during the battle when that part of July is very active, but really the energy in Gettysburg never sleeps totally.
That's fascinating. So, did her body not lie in a marked grave?
It does now, but for a time after Jenny was, she was taken upstairs through a hole in the wall and then taken down. It was a double house, taken downstairs to the neighbor's basement where it was cooler. After the battle, she was put out in a garden. Then she was reinterred up here to Evergreen.
Pretty interesting. Makes sense that she would be.
Is she the one that has flag flying over her
grave?
Yes,
she has a flag flying.
Is she one of the only women?
There was things left unspoken between her and Wesley Colt. You know, there was just things left to do. She was the only civilian killed during the battle.
Right, right. Which is pretty interesting with all the fighting in town and on the farms. I guess most of the civilians were hidden in basements and stuff.
Most of them went into basements and went into hiding and didn't come out for days afterwards. Right. And then when they came up, things were just devastated.
Oh, yeah. The whole ground and everything. And
I mean, think about it. 6,000 horses alone in Gettysburg. 6,000 were killed and they just laid rotting.
And my great-grandfather probably provided many of them. He wasn't in the service, but my great-grandfather, George W. Shockley, raised and trained horses for the Union Army.
Wow.
Probably here. And they ended up burning all of them.
Yeah, I guess the smell is so horrible that people couldn't venture outside. If they did, they would take a handkerchief soaked in oils or perfume.
I mean, that's horrible in itself. But think about in those days when you were shot by a mini-ball, you could lie, which many did, in the ground, in the heat, in the sun, for 5-6 days before you died.
Some of the wounds were horrific. I read one account where somebody coming into town after the battle wanting to help out a civilian saw a wounded soldier lying beside the road with his stomach and part of his chest torn away, and you could see his heart beating in the open air.
Well, how about the soldier over on Buford Avenue who was, they thought, dead? They put him in that pile.
Oh, and he went insane.
Dead yet?
Under the pile.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine that. So yeah, there's so many horrific stories.
What'd you say, Barbara?
I didn't. That was Jeff.
Yeah, it was an old Monty Python. I'm not dead.
Oh.
No, I mean I can imagine that. Due to the lack of, you know, more modern methods of determining death. That there were probably quite a few buried alive. That would not surprise me.
And some soldiers would lay for days. They were given up for dead. And after they treated everybody they thought they could save, maybe 4 days later, they'd go back and find somebody still alive. And they'd basically suffered with no treatment whatsoever in that time.
A lack of any sort of painkillers back then, too, must have been horrific.
There wasn't any.
The good old days.
Aspirin wasn't invented until 1898. There were no painkillers except Indians, you know, leaves and herbs.
Well, the aspirin was essentially found through the aspir bark of trees, the aspir tree, which is what the wise woman, even back in Europe, used to use for painkiller and such. It eventually became aspirin as, you know, patriarch started getting involved in medicine and such.
Pretty bad.
Yeah, over 50,000 killed in 3 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the carnage was here was just terrible.
Yeah, I recently read a book about Lee's retreat after Gettysburg, and it picks up at the conclusion of the battle. The book some of the graphic descriptions were so horrible that I had to put the book aside.
What's it called?
I think it's called Lee's Retreat.
Okay.
And I think there's a subtitle, The Effect of Logistics. Lee Masterson Brown is the author. Excellent book.
I'll have to read that one.
Wow. And you know, the fighting that was in town, too, was horrific, because you would have Confederates on one side of the house and Union on the other, and they'd be shooting through the front door into the back door, and it was just all over the place.
Yeah, one Union officer rode a horse through a house.
Oh, did he?
To escape.
Well, how long did the battle in town last before it moved further out onto the battlefields here?
I think it was the entire 3 days. There was a skirmish going somewhere.
Somewhere in town, even.
Yeah.
Because there's still in town that has bullet holes in town last before it moved.
Right,
and so is Mr. G's ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if you go to the square, if you're in the square, kind of away from the blue and gray, and you turn on to 30, if you go around, you can see there's a little flag up there next to the Wills house. You can see a hole where a cannonball went.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you're on the square there, that was the morgue. There's a bed and breakfast there right next to the Blue and Gray. Amazing, amazing place.
It was a morgue.
It was the morgue.
What do they have in it now?
It's a bed and breakfast. You can rent it out.
Oh, really? I don't know if I'd want to.
Ask Brian about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been out here on many occasions. I remember my first time to Gettysburg was when I was in fifth grade. But I didn't have any experiences back in fifth grade. But coming out here as an adult doing investigations, we've had multiple experiences where we would come out in the morning, and knowing that there was no reenactment group in the area, we would hear cannon shots. We would hear musket shots. Now, a percussion rifle makes a distinct sound of clipping down. You hear a snap, and then it, as it pops the cap, you hear the explosion of powder. There's no way to mistake that sound. We heard that. We heard a bugler on a number of occasions, and the battlefield was empty. There were nobody there. There have been people that have seen soldiers out on the field demonstrating their marching. There were a bunch of senators and congressmen that came out and watched a full-blown demonstration of soldiers marching in cadence, and they went back to the visitor center and they said, "We want to thank you for providing that," and it was never provided. What they saw were full-bodied apparitions doing the cadence.
I know. I've seen a film on television, a video of semi-transparent. It looks like a line of Confederate soldiers moving. It was taken from Devil's Den.
Going down the hill?
And you even see officers on horseback occasionally, but they're semi-transparent. You can hear the people watching it. Just
I saw a video of soldiers with backpacks on going and disappearing down the path out of sight below the hill.
Yeah, you can see them kind of pass, and then, they pass out of sight. That's probably
the
same one.
They were translucent.
Yes.
And it's interesting that you didn't see it as a child. And I wonder if they are cognizant of the fact that there's children around and they just don't show up.
That's an interesting question. I don't think we'll really know the answer in this lifetime, but what an excellent observation that is. You may be right on with that.
Yeah, I was here several times and never had any experiences, but once I started to have experiences, now every time I'm in town, if I go out on the battlefield, do a little bit of investigating, I have something happen.
Wow.
So what things do you have coming up? Are you guys, other than the tours, you got some investigations coming up?
We do the Brew Works twice a month. We do the orphanage once a month, and we do the Jenny Wade House.
So you've been out to the Brew Works already?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of stuff have you gotten up there?
We've gotten a child in the basement. I actually got touched. I actually got grabbed in the bathroom.
You know, they were hollering last night about things going on in the bathroom, too, and we'll have them talk about them when they come in here.
That's actually, before it was a bathroom, that's where the wounded soldiers were lined up.
Really?
On that wall.
And wrong question, Henry. What kind of brew is at the Brew Works?
What kind of brew works?
No, was it? Is it a functional ale house?
Yes.
Yes.
Of course, we don't drink while we're investigating, but
sure. Yeah.
They're a functioning brewery.
They do their own brewery, and they also, it's a pub. They sell food and stuff.
And too. They also make homemade soda.
Oh, yeah. Wow. And was that, how long has that been there? Is it established?
When they opened up the brew works, how long has it been open?
I think it was a brewery once and closed down. I think it's been open in its current incarnation for maybe 4 years, something like that. It's my there. It was a the Confederates wounded on Culp's Hill were taken there. I think something like 1500 to 1600.
They said 1300 was taken there.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And they left nearly 500 there when they retreated. They were too badly hurt to be moved.
Mm-hmm. So those are the only ones that you've got lined up now? Do you do private investigations?
We have a Gettysburg task force where we took people from all different groups, threw them together, and we're just using everyone's best qualities, and we go out, and that's how we do our privates. We just network with probably 10 different groups.
So I'm sure that there's a lot of private homes around Gettysburg also that has activity.
Oh, absolutely. Our house is active.
Really?
We live about 10 miles north of Gettysburg. We're in, it's called Bendersville. And Bendersville was used a lot to hide runaway slaves.
Oh, really?
Our house is very active.
So I live in a former Underground Railroad stop in Ohio. Our house is very active.
We're coming to your house.
Yes, you're welcome.
We're coming.
Now, from a sheer square mileage area, how much of Gettysburg was part of the battlefield? How far did it extend?
Well, I think most of it. I mean, they came from north, south, east, and west.
Yeah, there was skirmishing for miles around.
All the way out there.
Every direction.
Yeah, up to Cashtown, Ortona. Yeah.
So we're not talking just one battle. We're talking many different battles at one time.
Yes.
Yeah, Lee's retreat was basically a fighting
run.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Even though they were chasing him, but they wasn't chasing him, I guess, totally with everybody because his forces were depleted too.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess they didn't fight like we fight today.
Yeah.
No. So.
There was they were not practicing guerrilla warfare back then like Pat McCormick does.
Oh, Pinky Cat's in. Oh.
Yeah, Pat McCormick from Ghost Soldier just came in. He'll be
He's going to be coming in. Cat Cloco's in chat room. I'm glad to see her. This year, we have a bunch of, I guess, kind of like new people. I mean, a lot of the old ones, but we had a few new ones. They mostly have already gone. Nancy Duterte was here. They've left, her and her daughter. We had some others, too. Who else was it?
Pat's cousin was here. I don't know if she still is. Holly? Who's your cousin?
Molly.
Molly.
She was here?
She was.
Oh.
She was here.
Oh, I didn't even see her.
Really? What were you reading?
Well, is that what it was?
Yeah. I never saw anybody in my life eat as much as this guy. You know, we're sitting there, we're having lunch at 1 o'clock. Then he stops to get ice cream, and he says, we're going to stop for dinner at 3.
We ate lunch at, what did we eat lunch at?
Everywhere. Ate lunch at Tommy's Pizza.
That's where it was. Tommy's Pizza. Oh, you don't like Tommy's Pizza? Oh, man. Tommy's Pizza's good.
Tommy's is the best.
Yeah. Tommy's is good. And then we had...
then we went to the Appalachian Brewery.
Which
he's got a thing about breweries.
Which is good.
Yeah, nothing wrong with brewing.
Yeah, it's like another brewery.
All right, I have got a line
where
of people.
Where else are you going to find the spirits?
Oh, yeah, well.
Think of it that way.
Oh, well, you know, fun thing about the Battlefield Brewery? It's got a hearse parked in the driveway that says Battlefield Brewery has spirits.
Yeah, well, they've got two hearse, yeah. and they're trying to sell them from under.
Really?
Yeah, you can buy one.
No, thanks.
Why not?
Well, you know, I don't want to have all that cash laid out.
You don't want the cash laid out, huh? Well, you're open till 10 o'clock tonight here.
Actually, no, but we are open for you guys.
Oh, really? Oh, I thought you was going to be open till 10, so I thought you had customers coming in and out.
That's fine.
No.
We network with everyone. I think I'm going to leave everybody with that. Keep networking. Work with everyone. Please don't be afraid to trust people in the field. We need to grow the field, and we need to bond together and just help each other to grow. The Gettysburg Ghost Exchange has become the place where the paranormal gathers. It's an extension of our home. I always have a cup of coffee and some conversation waiting.
All right.
So don't be afraid to network.
Well, that sounds good. I want to thank you for letting us come here to do the show tonight. And if you got employees that has had paranormal activity and stories?
My husband and I are workaholics, and we're the proprietors and the workers.
Oh, okay.
We do have Eric Julian who comes. He volunteers. He's here a lot. He's our Goomba. We have Kendra Belgrad who's here a lot with us. She's my best friend, my soul sister. So yes, they have had experiences here, both of them. But I wouldn't say that they're employees, they're family.
Yes. I think everybody in the paranormal is like family.
I think we need to strive for that.
I agree.
That's good.
Seems more and more. I'm relatively new to the field, and I've been very impressed by how helpful, instructional, accepting everybody really is in this field.
That's good.
Yeah. We do not own the spirits.
That's correct. And we do not capture evidence. They give it to
us. One of my pet peeves of using words like capture, hunt.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Did you catch evidence? They're offensive words to many of these spirits who fought in battles.
Mm-hmm. Especially, think about it. If you're trying to talk to, let's say, a major general, he's going to grant that to you. He's going to give that to you as a present.
Right.
And we're going to be lucky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my experience has been that any activity I've had, especially on the Gettysburg field, it seems like there's some sort of connection and they're reaching out to me. I'm not finding them. They are finding me.
Thaddeus Stevens' house on Middle Street was one of the best investigations around here that I've ever done. So if you're ever in the area, anybody listening, it's an Airbnb. Anyone can rent it. It's got 3 bedrooms, a working kitchen. It has intelligent communication that is reaching out to talk.
Mm.
It's amazing.
What's the name of it again?
The Thaddeus Stevens House.
Thaddeus Stevens. He was a judge attorney, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Ah.
Yes, he was. That house was built in the 1700s, and it was moved down from Chambersburg.
Yes. Okay.
So, well, thanks for having me, and
appreciate it. All right. Thanks again.
I'm actually gonna run out and grab dinner, but
go right ahead.
Henry, sit down. She's going to eat.
Don, we'll try and get you back on here in a little bit and find out some more about how things went, and we want to try and get your wife on to talk some.
Okay. So, might have to twist her arm a little bit.
Oh, well, there's some others out there like that, too, that's not going to come on. She doesn't have to if she don't want to.
I'll let her
no
know.
Problem.
Okay. Well, thanks, Henry.
Let's see. We got Mike. Tabby wrote this, so I have no idea. Have Tabby come in. Yeah. Mike, yes. You want to get in that chair there?
Sure will.
Okay.
I'm surprised to see Pat here with us. Oh, my knees.
And let's see. Of course, where's Cat Gash at?
Exactly how many people are there, Henry?
In here right now? They've got a bunch of people out there. She's got like 8 or 9 names on this list, a couple that are new ones.
Just put your glasses on her.
Where? Yeah, it's Mike Stevenson. I see that.
Well, yeah.
I said you and Brian Phillips from Ghost Pit.
Yeah.
Well, you have to tell him to come in.
He wanted to get some.
Oh, so we got somebody else then. How about.
You got Pat. You got
let's bring in Pat McCormick. We're just getting some guests in here right now. So
how many people showed up for the ghost hunt altogether?
There
were
13
of us. 13. Lucky 13.
On Friday the 13th, too. Yeah, sure was. So, you know who we got here? Who I haven't seen in over a year?
Who's that? Wait, is this on? I'm not hearing anything.
It's on. It should be. Are you guys hearing?
No, it's. I'm not.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Everybody can hear you. And
well,
you
now, I can hear you now that I'm back on.
Hear them, yeah.
Oh, okay. If you can hear them, fine then.
That's okay then.
Well,
hello.
We're doing good. We got Pat McCormick with us.
Yay! Hey, I'm really here. Whoa! Oh my God!
You upset somebody, didn't you, Pat?
Yeah, my name alone.
Off the wall just because he mentioned
my name alone invokes.
My goodness!
I didn't do it. I wasn't nowhere near it.
Well, I'll tell you. At least we now have this on film too.
Yeah, that's right. Thank God. You can't blame me, Henry. It was you who said my name. It's like Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice. The name you shall not say.
Yeah, exactly. The one whose name you shall not mention.
Right.
And we got Cat Gash.
How you doing?
And hey. We got Mike Stevenson.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah.
Hi, Marla.
We had quite a few people. Well, we had 13 people last night in the investigation. It was a... Oh, it was on an all right place.
Yeah.
Was there ice cream?
They didn't have ice cream there.
No, they didn't.
No.
Oh,
no.
I'm sorry to hear that, Henry.
I have been invited though to go back to Mr. G's next year.
No way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow, he must have been drinking again.
I think it was all the ice cream we bought that.
Oh, that what
today.
It was?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I had to stop and get ice cream, take people in. And then he was upstairs and I had him call him down so I could talk with him.
Yeah.
He come down and I told him, you know, for what we was doing tonight and everything. Yeah. And I said, I didn't want to beat you up and come back here every year like that. Right. So we're hitting other places. And he said, no, I says, I don't mind, you know, you coming in. I said, well, maybe next year we can do something. He says, oh, that'd be great.
Well, his ice cream sales increase when you visit, so yeah, of course.
He has people out around the corner today.
We have some people in chat room that I'm glad
really?
To see. And yeah,
we got people in the chat room.
We got Pinky Cat in there, which is Cat Cloco.
Cat Cloco, Miss Cloco. Hey, Cat.
All righty.
Yeah.
And we got Nyla, which is Patsy,
hey, Patsy.
My wife.
Hi, Patsy.
Yeah. And we got
wait, Bruce. Why isn't Cat Cloco with you? Isn't she semi locally enough or something, or is she too far away?
Who?
Oh,
Cat?
Cat.
Yeah, she's in Ohio. She's not
next door to
traveling now because she's with her doing the comics and stuff, so that keeps her pretty busy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I understand.
Hey, Jeff.
But we do miss her, though.
Hey. Hmm? Yeah, we got Marla and Bruce in chat, and Gen Z's in chat and Off World Engineers in chat.
Yeah.
Like romper so,
yeah.
Along, so
no. Jen Hayes, we got coffee for dessert. So we got quite a few people listening. That's just in the chat room. That's not
right,
listening
exactly.
From other places. Yeah. So, but anyway, haven't seen you for a while. So what have you been up to?
I dug a big hole in the ground and I climbed in and just pulled the dirt over the top of me.
So watch yourself in Gettysburg during that, I'm telling you.
Well, it is actually good to see you.
No, I haven't been doing a whole lot the last year or so. I'm just kind of getting back to going out and filming these little mini movies where I go to battlefields and stuff.
Right.
You know, instead of doing the organized, you know, ghost hunts. So I kind of went back to where I started, you know, just going out and helping soldiers, still doing that. I got 17 today.
Did you?
I crossed 17 soldiers down.
Where'd you go to?
Willoughby Run.
That's the creek up there?
Yes.
Yeah, where you took us.
Right, where we took, I took you guys down
to the
there.
Creek.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where it was very, the fighting was very heavy in through
yeah.
there.
Yeah, you can feel that.
On both sides, and you can feel that.
Yes.
And we found that bunker area that they called the bunker.
Right.
Next to the water, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I moved, I went down further because there were some people up at the top spot there, so I went down a little further. Because I've crossed guys over there, and I know there's more down further. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the Confederates just don't trust you.
Right.
You know, the Union guys are a lot more trusting than the other side.
Yeah.
And so I had to sit there for a while and kind of talk to them and go, hey, you don't have to do nothing. If you want to, I'm here to help you. I don't care what side you're on, you know. So eventually I was able to get an officer or a highest ranking guy to get some guys together on their side and the Union guys together and crossed them side by side, made them go in at the same time so that they knew that it's equal and everybody's could go.
That's nice.
Yeah, and it's funny because my spirit guide got a little angry because I couldn't understand. I usually say, like, how many did I get? Just to know a figure, you know?
Yeah.
And I hear the, and I couldn't understand, so I asked a second time. Then I asked a third time, and it was like a scream. And so finally I go, okay, I think it's 17. Can you just say yes? And I got it, you know, yes. Yeah. You know? 17! Like, why can't you hear me? Who's dead, me or you?
In my belly. So,
of course, we got Barbara and Jeff on too, so I'm sure that they're going to be
Barbara.
A ton of stuff to ask. So.
Of course, Jeff has been way too quiet, so he must be building up.
Well, no, the problem is that Skype is just kicking me in and out. I'll be sitting here listening to something great, and then all of a sudden it'll just go silent. Like Steve said something before, like, I haven't seen anybody eat this, and it went dead silent. I'm like, oh, I really want to hear the rest of that.
Maybe you're supposed to fill in the gap.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, oh, no.
Cheating.
Oh, now, Pat, I mentioned earlier, I don't think you're one for TV, but on Fox, I think Tuesday night on the TV series Lethal Weapon, you should see me pretty well in a wedding reception scene. A lot of quirky characters, but I should be pretty visible.
Yes, you should be.
Is that on next week, Jeff?
That's this week, as in like 4 days from now.
Oh,
all right.
Awesome. Great stuff.
Love that show.
I'll definitely make sure I watch
Absolutely, man. Awesome. Good stuff. Congratulations. Yes.
Congratulations.
Yeah. That's good stuff. Fox.
All right. Yes.
And I'm still waiting for a commercial I filmed to be start airing with from Southwest. So still waiting on that.
It's always the waiting.
Yes.
Yeah. Keep us posted.
Okay. The waiting's the hardest part.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if you're aware that one of my short scripts won a script competition this past fall and got a small budget, but it was a budget. And we actually filmed it about a month ago, and right now the editing is almost done. So it should be hitting film festivals soon.
Wow. Oh,
very
awesome.
Good. Very good. Congrats.
Yeah, let's know when that's out.
Yes. Yeah. We want to look forward to seeing that.
Good stuff all around. Yes. Yeah.
So have you ever been out to the Battlefield Brew Works?
Which Brew Works?
It's it was pretty good. They make their own beer and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's where we was at last night.
Oh. Did you find anything?
I don't know. I haven't listened to anything, but it seemed pretty quiet. I mean, except for the bathroom, for the women's bathroom.
Women's bathroom.
Always.
Very active.
Always the women's bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah. You wonder what they do in there.
Well,
they keep saying, why isn't this makeup sticking?
uh, Yeah, we was there like from 8 to 10 doing the investigation. We went there and ate some first and then did the investigation.
Was it quiet or was there noise going
well,
on?
Well, there was noise, you know, from the fan.
Right.
So you couldn't get a lot of that. If you went outside, there was still, it was windy and
a lot of tree frogs.
Yeah, a lot of tree frogs.
Yeah, they're the worst.
There was some traffic sound, but inside, I mean, other than that, if everybody sat still and maybe just ask a question every now and then, it was quiet enough to where you could have got something. So I don't know if I got anything or not.
Right.
But I never felt anything. You know, sometimes you feel like there's energy there and sometimes it feels dead. But even sometimes when it feels dead, you still get stuff. So,
There's no indication.
Right.
You
so
know, it could feel as dead as anything and there's still stuff all around you.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Because they're all dead. Now, you know me and animals because I raised baby animals, but how small are these tree frogs and how loud are they?
My God, they are loud. They just kill any EVP session you try to do, and it seems to know when you're rolling.
Right,
they get louder.
Exactly, yeah.
It's mating season,
they go in
so
unison.
Very loud. Oh, God.
Yeah. Now, I got an EVP just before I came over here, over on the battlefield at the Bushman Farm. And I was minding my business and I just ran the recorder like I do and not ask any questions or demand anything or just sit there. I was taking pictures and sat on a rock and checking out the battlefield. And when I listened to it, you can hear the guy go, We don't want your help. First of all, I never offered to help anybody.
Right.
But I've been in that area before, and I've had trouble with the guys in there. They're from Alabama.
Right.
And I want to help them, and they're like, no, we're okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is the same guys, probably, you know, or not. There's probably lots down there. But for some reason, they're just like, I don't want your help. And, you know, hey, buddy, I'm not here. I'm not offering any help. So, but
be careful of the ones with the banjo.
Yes. But it's funny how different spirits react to you, whether you're offering help or not. Some are nice, some are, you know, not so nice, and some are just jerks, you know.
Well, that also implies that they recognize you from previous trips.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Very much so. Yeah.
This guy again.
Right. He's going to offer to help
like,
us. Yeah,
like emptying the ghost version of Facebook. He's unfriending all my friends.
Kat wanted to know why I was in the women's bathroom. To clarify that, I was not in the women's bathroom. It was the women, and we had, what, 5-6 women with us.
Tom went into the bathroom.
Did he? Well, that wasn't me. You can't blame me on that.
Just pretend you're a target.
Well, in Donald's defense, he actually went in there with his wife, so it was good.
You have to be escorted. That's
yes,
right.
Yes, definitely.
Henry didn't have an escort. Right.
No, I didn't have anybody escorting me.
Let's see who the caller is. Oh, it's a spirit.
Yeah.
What have they won?
Calling from the grave.
Is your what?
Was that my phone going off?
I don't hear a phone.
I heard it.
Really?
it was an old rotary type of ring.
All I can say is it was not Walgreens.
For once, not a Walgreens call. that's classic, Henry.
That's what Kat put in. Is it Walgreens?
You're right, Kat. It's usually Henry getting a call from Walgreens saying your drugs are ready.
Yeah. Well, people here in the chat room said they was hearing the phone ring. So,
there you go.
So far, we had a phone ring and something fall off the wall here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
We'll
find
nowhere
out.
Here.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
Passing it on.
Pretty funny, I tell you. So, Oh.
Henry, I hope you didn't have to walk too far today. Like the time I took you to Antietam and made you walk like half a mile?
Believe you not, I did not.
Thank God.
That's a 10-minute walk or half a mile.
No.
Henry once tried to, when we were at the, what was it, the...
Antietam.
Antietam, the farm.
The
Fry House. We were going from the house to the barn, which was 60 yards away. Henry wanted to get in the car and drive. and it was downhill.
Oh, no.
Can you go get the car? We put him in a wagon and pulled him down.
One of those department store scooters and just.
No, I didn't walk the.
Wednesday night, Henry, I go to my writer actor workshop, and it's a 40-minute walk if I don't catch a bus. And usually I'm like, yeah, it's a nice night, and I'll just walk.
No, Henry wouldn't do that. He'd take two buses and a plane.
With Henry walking it beats the hell out of me getting him lost.
That's true.
Don't they sell like those little golf carts at Costco? You can get one of those.
We lost him today. He took a nap on us.
I did. I wasn't feeling good after we got after lunch.
Yeah.
And it was about about 3:30, and we were supposed to meet somewhere at 5, I think it was.
Yeah.
I went back and laid down. I thought I'd just rest for a minute.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I was half hour late getting up.
Yep.
They was banging on the door and everything. I said, what?
Right.
I didn't hear a thing, man.
Oh my God, they probably thought you were dead.
Yep. Well, they
we came to investigate, but he didn't answer.
Let's get the EVP recorders out.
Henry, you're with us.
Oh man.
Well, like the old joke, I'll just take a minute to check Twitter and 4 hours later.
That's about the way it was.
It would be longer than that because I don't do Twitter.
You don't twit?
I don't twit.
He's not a twit?
No, I don't twit.
Well, that's all right. You got better things to do, Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Like eating ice cream.
I have lots of people to talk to, and I'm not wanting to run people away.
No, Craig Rupp. You got to get Craig Rupp on.
Well, we've been on now for about an hour.
Oh,
and I have not did any breaks, and I'm going to have to take a quick break.
Mm-hmm.
I will do that, and we'll get some other people in here. So that's what we're going to do because I now have to be able to play break stuff. So.
Oh, I thought you said you were going to have to go pee.
No, he's got a bottle here next to him.
There you go.
He's got an empty bottle next to him.
not for long.
He doesn't get a break.
Bruce Tango said, "Get me a pair of roller skates."
There you go.
Believe it or not, I'd probably fall down too much.
Somebody'd have to push you too.
Yeah.
It's not going to work, Bruce.
All right, we'll let Jeff take us out for a quick break, and we'll be back, and we'll get to talk with you guys a little bit more because there's. I got another hour left, and we just got a whole lot to try and get done. So
you got to get Mike on.
I'm going to get him on. I'm going to get Craig on. So
yeah, enough
of
bus.
Wait, did Craig show up?
Never enough. But we will try and get you guys back on here, or what we can. Okay,
right.
So we'll do that. So Jeff, you want to take us out for a quick break?
Yes, absolutely. Well, you're listening to The Paranormal View on power-x.com with hosts Henry Foister, Ceiling Cat Barbara Duncan, and myself, Jeffrey Gould. And Henry is broadcasting live from the Ghost Exchange in Gettysburg. So stay tuned for more of The Paranormal View after the break.
It's always time for the dead to shine in Hollywood.
The legendary Dearly Departed Tours has stepped up their ghostly game by offering the Hollywood Ghosts and Legends Walking Tour. Dearly Departed has long been an orb of hope in the paranormal world, having been featured on television's Haunted History and Haunted Collector. Their terrible tales have been made infamous in Marla Brooks' The Ghosts of Hollywood books. The new Ghosts and Legends Tour is a 10-block, 70-minute dusk-time stroll down the Boulevard of Broken Dreams. You'll be guided through the Golden Age of Hollywood and see where the unearthly Bela Lugosi, Lon Chaney, and the calamitous Black Dahlia are still said to linger. You'll see Hollywood's gothic hotels, legendary theaters, and restaurants, never forgetting their permanent occupants. No stranger to investigations, Dearly Departed Tours has first-hand knowledge of some of these hauntings. For details of the Hollywood Ghosts and Legends Walking Tour, find Dearly Departed Tours on Facebook, dearlydepartedtours.com, or call 1-855-600-DEAD.
I found it at last! Marla's Sacred Cauldron. This is the legendary artifact that has been whispered about in hushed tones for hundreds of years, and now it's mine! All mine!
Who dares defile the sanctity of my castle walls? Step away from the cauldron, you impertinent, muddy metal maltworm.
Never! I've spent half my lifetime trying to discover your age-old secret of stirring the cauldron!
Oh, for Merlin's sake, that's no deep, dark secret. Just tune into the Para-X Radio Network Thursday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern for more cauldron stirring than you can shake a wand at.
Oh, well, in that case, I guess I don't need to take up any more of your time, so I guess I'll be going!
Not just yet. We've got a little unfinished business to take care of.
That's Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Para-X Radio Network.
In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock for Dark Sun Rising on the Para-X Radio Network.
Are you psychic? Do you often have dreams that come true? Do you have an interest in hypnosis or astrology? If you'd like to learn more about classes, events, and books on metaphysics, then go to our website, www.theartofmediumship. This is Elaine Kosmaskis, director of the New England School of Metaphysics and author of The Art of Mediumship.
Hi, this is Mike from Mr. G's Ice Cream Store in Gettysburg, the most haunted ice cream store in town. Stop in and see us next time you're around. We feature 16 flavors of homemade ice cream made right here in the store. Look forward to seeing you.
Voices that seem to come from nowhere. Alone at night, there is a feeling that something or someone is near. Where can you go? Who can you turn to? Para-X Radio. Our knowledgeable host and expert guest can help you find some answers and take a glimpse into the unknown. Para-X Radio. Programming for the open mind.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
And welcome back to the Paranormal View right here on the Parex Radio Network. I want to thank everybody for taking the time to be with us tonight. We are live from Gettysburg tonight, so we've got lots of people we've been talking to, just laughing and carrying on, and I want to welcome everybody back. If you do have questions, you can private chat them to Henry Foister or Ceiling Cat, and we will get those answered for you. And if you're listening from somewhere else around the world, you can send us a message to theparanormalview@gmail.com and just put attention question, and we will get those answered for you. So lots of people in the chat room tonight that I like to see, and some that I haven't seen for a while that I'm glad to see in here. So appreciate it. And tonight, right now, we have here with us Kat Gash.
How you doing, everybody?
And we have Brian Phillips.
How y'all doing?
And we still have the one and only Mike Stevenson.
Hi, everyone.
So, I guess we have also with us Barbara Duncan.
I'm still here.
And we have, did Jeff get back?
Yes, I'm right here.
All right, good.
Welcome back to our annual open mic night.
Oh, yeah. speaking of listeners from around the world, Barbara, where do we have listeners at?
Tonight they're coming in from the United States, the United Kingdom, Canada, Israel, Costa Rica, and unknown.
All right, we got them everywhere, don't we? Now, I know Brian doesn't know, so I'm going to tell him. Barbara and Jeff are both from the West Coast. Barbara's from San Francisco area, and Jeff's from L.A. So okay. That's their other
L.A. I'm from New Jersey, but, you know.
Oh.
Just saying.
All right, all right. Technical. now, you are you the lead in this pit?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you are now working with them, Kat?
Yes. And have been for about a year.
Yeah. So how long have you guys been doing Ghost Pit?
We actually formed the team right around January 26th of last year. Suzanne Byers and myself actually started the team. Her granddaughter and daughter then also became part of the team. And we had met Kat at a Paracon here in town. And we were doing some work at the theater. And ironically, she had been there before.
Capitol Theater in Chambersburg.
Yeah. And wanted to go back. If we could get back in, she was wondering if she could get back in with us. And it just worked out, that way. We had some things to check back out. Mm-hmm. And we asked her to come along, and she's been with us ever since.
And we went out to the Battlefield Brew Works last night. Mm-hmm. You guys come out, had dinner with us. I guess your daughter wasn't feeling good, and you guys left.
No, well... Miley, the little one, that's Suzanne's granddaughter.
Oh, okay.
She tends to get a little testy when she's tired, so.
Oh, okay.
We rolled out. And,
okay.
Yeah.
Well.
That's why Henry took a nap yesterday, so.
It happens.
Yes, it does. So, what kind of, you guys, what was that place you guys did the... theater, whatever it was you guys went to?
The Capitol Theater.
Okay.
Chambersburg, yeah.
All right. What other places have you guys done besides that?
We've done the Inn here at Lincoln Square and the Parrot Restaurant. They're both owned by the same people, so it was kind of an easy 1-2 to get into. Let's see. We've done some private residences. We've actually got another event location coming up, the Brunswick
Railroad and Heritage Museum in Brunswick, Maryland.
Really? Did they call you and say, something's going on? Or
actually, I have known James Castle. Mm-hmm. Mike knows him.
Yes.
I met James some years ago when we actually investigated mm-hmm. the museum. And after James became the, I suppose you call him the docent.
Yeah, his well term, the, yes.
Sorry about that. I thought you were making me burn.
James, after he became the docent and the manager down there, I just got in touch with him one afternoon. I said, James, are you still allowing people to come down here and do paranormal investigation? He said, sure. So we did that, and the next thing you know, he asked Brian if there was a possibility that we could do public investigations on a regular basis down there.
Do you see what that says? It says for you to get closer to the microphone.
Yes, Kat, I'm here. I follow you.
I'm short, Kat. Remember, it's difficult for me to get to the microphone sometimes.
Now, you mentioned a theater there, and I have to ask, do you think that theaters in general tend to be more haunted?
I would say so, because not only because of the amount of people that filter in and out, but the fact that it's a very live, active place on a regular basis. So you get people in and out of there all the time. So the energy, from the performances and the music and the laughter and the clapping and everything, and that kind of energy, no doubt, it's going to cause people or the spirits to rev up.
Mm-hmm.
And the theater was built in
1926.
So you've got to figure that for almost 100 years now, that theater has seen thousands and thousands of people.
And the cool thing about Chambersburg Theater, there was actually two theaters in Chambersburg at the exact same time. The one right up the road, the Rosedale, was actually the first theater in Chambersburg, I believe. Yeah. And when it was torn down, we actually believe that there's a spirit that travels between the location and down to the one that's actually still standing today. So it's kind of a neat twist when there's actually two locations that play off of each other with activity that, it's fun to try and figure out who is from what location. So.
Right.
It's a beautiful historic theater, and even though they've replaced the seats and the cushions in a few of the areas, it still has the majority of the original walls. The curtains are at least, I think they're reproduction, but just about everything is original, including the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Still the original wood, and it has a molar pipe organ that was played. And they still have the original pipes still in the walls. Mm. And one of the original organs is still underneath the stage.
Mm.
So it's just a gorgeous theater. Gorgeous theater.
So what's some of the things that they've said going on in there?
Well, one of the box office employees actually was closing up for the night. And I guess she has I want to call it a shield, but it's kind of like a window thing that she raises and lowers for her shift. And when she put it down, she went to check the doors, and when she turned around, there was actually a stapler underneath prying the propping that block up. So she she pretty much figured out who it was. They've heard footsteps, and I know they've had some activity up in one of the balconies with a child who I have focused quite a bit of time trying to make peace with him almost, because I think there's something with him that he just doesn't want to communicate, or he can't. I've gotten a couple taps from him to respond, from questions I've asked him on a couple occasions, but he's very shy. To put it easy, I don't know if he doesn't like the crowds, the groups, or we just look really different, to him from the time period he's from. So he's been a lot of work. We know the dressing room back there is absolutely active.
Right.
I mean, it's an incredible place. Henry, if you ever get a chance when you're in the area again and you've got like an extra day, to spend before you have to head back home, oh, man, you would love it in that place.
Yeah.
And, I can almost guarantee you that you'll pick up on something. Absolutely.
Well, that sounds good. Yeah.
And then we've got an event going that is coming up in October. And talk about something that just came out of the blue. It was just absolutely incredible. You've had him on, well, I think you've had him on your show, and Marla has definitely had him on her show, the psychic medium William Stillman.
No, I haven't had him on.
Okay. Well, sorry, maybe you might like to try, because he's a wonderful guest, and Marla can tell you that for certain. And as it is, William has had his psychic gallery at the Capitol Theater a number of times. And the manager, John, got in touch with Brian and said Bill Stillman was wanting to know if we would like to do an event
at the theater. Caught me off guard.
Yeah. You know. And it turns out to be that what we're going to be doing alongside of the Capitol Theater and William Stillman, we're going to be holding a paranormal expo, and it's called
Spirits Through Time, Chambersburg Paranormal Fair. And it's October 26th and 27th. We're going to, on the 26th, which is Friday, we're going to do like a little mixer, get together, just, you know, have a little bit of fun.
With the vendors and, and the speakers.
Movie investigation. And Saturday is the vendor portion of it and William Stillman's show in the evening. So, you know, you asked me in the beginning if I was the lead investigator of the team, but hands down, there's no way this team would function the way it does without each individual person on this team, from Suzanne, Kat, you know, Miley, who takes fantastic photos, Sarah, you know, there's three generations between Suzanne, Miley, and Sarah right there, you know, Albert, Jess, Tim, Tyler, Chris. I mean, we all, whether it's all 10 of us on an investigation or if it's 5 of us on the investigation, that investigation would not be what it is without the people in the way they function on that investigation. There's, you know, it's impossible to do it without the people we have.
And we get along so well. We've all got our own individual personalities and our own particular gifts, but we play off of each other so well that it's just amazing. I can't tell you how proud I am to be associated with them.
I can tell you, I created a messenger page for us so we could communicate back and forth privately. And it's very rare that I can ever get anything accomplished because they have so much fun. And, you know, and that's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Aside from the important stuff, after that's done and taken care of, they just have so much fun together. When we're not investigating, we still have that family tie, even though we're not investigating.
That's like the way it is with everybody that comes here to be with us when we come to Gettysburg, because they come from everywhere just because we laugh so much.
Yeah, exactly.
It's important.
Yeah.
Because we deal with so much, you know, of the, I don't want to say darkness of it, but, you know, we're looking for people that have passed. We're looking at, you know, family members and people when they come to us for help. That's the bad part of the field. And I don't say bad as in negative, but, you know, we're trying to give people answers.
Right.
Which is very important. So to have that family unit and tie that, you know, you can let loose a little bit.
Right.
I think it goes a long way for making the team really whole.
Right.
And the chemistry that each individual has is very important. It has to flow together or else you have nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. You know? Like you and I, Mike, we don't get along, do we? We don't get along
with him. I can tell.
And Henry? Oh, I can't stand my goodness. Around Henry.
Well, no, we just got to keep Henry awake, that's all.
Well, we got one that refuses to come and talk, but she's always with us at every event. Carrie.
Yes.
And
she'll
stand over and grin like a possum. Carrie, baby, yeah. Carrie. But she's always here having fun with us and investigating. So I have to at least let everybody know she is around.
Hi, Carrie.
She is Jewel. She is.
So we got some others too that I want to get in here.
Well, touch you, Henry. Okay, I think that's our cue to leave, everybody.
Well, guys, I just want to say it was a pleasure meeting you this weekend. Thank you for the opportunity to talk with you. And
so when we come back, you guys will be able to join us, hopefully. And, hey,
we'll get you in the Capitol Theater.
All right.
You know, if they can set it up where we can do a show from there.
Oh, I think we can make it happen.
All right.
We'll see what we can work out.
Absolutely. Oh,
that would be great.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a winner then.
Yes.
Well, thank you guys.
Appreciate all right. It. Thank you. We're gonna get I know he's gonna be hilarious. That's one Jeff's waiting for. You still with us, Jeff?
Hey, Jeff, are you around?
It helps to unmute my mic because the dogs are barking.
Oh. Mm-hmm. And I know, Barbara, are you still with us?
Of course I'm here.
Come on, Craig. Get in
here. Oh, okay. Well, you was real quiet. You wasn't saying too much. Here comes the boy. Just remember, you have to speak close to the microphone.
Well, not this again.
Yes.
I made love to the other one.
Yeah. Well, I want to see you kissing this one.
Yes. You're taller than I am, so you can get closer and closer.
Testing. Testing.
Well, I'm going to head out. So.
You are too?
Well, yeah, I've got to...
Where are you going? That means I got to talk.
That means he's...
Oh, I got to talk more.
Craig, we know you have a lot to say.
Why did you wait for him to sit down before you said that?
No, that's true. Now I
took
stand
a shower.
As everyone can see, we do have a good time together.
Where are you going? What the H-E double hockey sticks is this?
Kat Cloco said to tell you hi.
Hi, Kat.
She's
hi, Kat.
Is that better? That's better.
Yeah. I actually heard you this time.
Huh?
Let me get closer to the mic. My feet are still
I hope you do get close to the mic. All right.
My feet are dangling off the chair.
It's like 120 degrees in here. Maybe that's why.
There is my mic.
Well, I don't know what Kat was cussing at you. She said, I guess possums can look like something or other off rats. Whatever that meant.
Craig, you've been cooking a possum pie in?
I don't know.
I don't know what that means. I mean, I'm from the country, but I'm not eating possum. I'm sorry.
You don't like roadkill?
I know some people that do, but no.
Oh, Peaky Cat said that was for you.
Oh, boy.
Possum
That says right here. No. No, Henry. That's for Kat.
Oh, you are from West Virginia, aren't you?
Oh, well, my people are.
Oh, she said that's for Kat here in chat. Okay. So it wasn't for you. You're lucky this time.
We have a lot of
cats. Yeah, those cats are floating everywhere.
Yeah, I'm a tabby cat.
Yeah. So, what have you been doing lately? Anything, Craig?
I'm currently unemployed, looking for a job. If anybody's hiring, give me a call at K12.
K12.
Is that the old one? You're in Gettysburg. I haven't been KL124.
You got to crack the phone four times before it'll ring.
No, I've just been hanging out. I'm not working right now. I just had a hip replacement and...
Closer. Yeah, you're speaking real low, too, so, you know, you got to...
Oh, yeah, I'm a low talker.
Yeah.
I've just been hanging out in Gettysburg.
He finally hurt himself. Was that my voice?
Why do you think I don't talk? I don't like my voice.
Jeff, we have a hilarious show here.
Just like the old days.
Oh, yeah.
The old days. For those that may not know, Craig used to be a co-host with us, a very good one.
Yep.
Henry is drinking.
I haven't opened it yet, but
no, don't drink it. Cut off.
It's in a pretty green bottle.
It's smart that you got vodka to make it look like Sprite.
Shh. You know what they say, absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yep, there you are. How you doing?
Jeff hangs out every now and then, so.
Yeah, what?
Hear your voice, Jeff.
Yeah, good to hear you too. And I keep tagging John Krasinski and complimenting his movie and hoping he'll check his friggin' notifications someday.
We are trying to hear, buddy. We're trying. We're not giving up.
We're giving up.
We're not giving up.
So,
what did you think of Quiet Place, Craig? Did you see it?
I have not seen it yet.
Oh, really need to see it. It's one of the best suspense films I've ever seen.
Well, I plan on seeing it. Maybe next week I'm going to go see it.
Cool. But yeah, if he can direct that and rock performances with barely any audible dialogue, he'll be able to direct and star in your film without a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I love him in The Office, so I just thought he'd be perfect.
This one. Yeah, so. Nothing. Go ahead. You can talk. I'm not stopping you.
I'm done.
For those in the chat room that may not know, we have a hard time getting Craig to go on investigations with us.
Why?
I don't know.
Do you have an answer, Craig?
Apparently not. No, I don't know. You know, it's funny. I used to drive like once or twice a month, 3 hours to come down here and ghost hunt. But at some point from moving down here, I fell in love with the history and the beauty. And, you know, when you're out there on the battlefield the early morning, it's quiet and you can almost hear their voices and the footsteps and you know what happened there. I'm just like, you know what? Just rest in peace. You know, something changed. I don't know what, but I just fell in love with the beauty of this place, and it kind of overtook the whole ghost thing.
Well, it wasn't John Sable trying to drown you or anything.
No, that was Antietam.
Yeah, that happened on a live show, yeah. Too.
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
We almost thought we lost Craig, too, because he didn't even come back up for a while.
I'll tell you what, it's hot in here. I could use that creek right about now.
It is. We are in a very small room doing the show, no fan, and it is very, very warm in here.
Well, the fans are in the chat room. Oh, wait.
The what?
The fans are in the chat room, worse. I was saying.
Yeah. Could be worse. There's a snowstorm in Minnesota right now.
Yes, there is. Yeah. It's supposed to have rainstorms here tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the one good thing about when everybody for the Paranormal View comes here and everybody comes to be with us, I have two excellent people that knows the history of Gettysburg and can take us around and show us things. Craig Rupp.
Thank you.
And Pat McCormick. And, They can tell you anything and everything that has happened, take you to the places where you have the most probability to get EVPs or, you know, to be able to see things. And even though he may not actually do investigations much anymore, he is still a very good guide and very knowledgeable of the history of the battles around Gettysburg, which I'm really glad to know Craig as friends.
Yeah, and I know I haven't been around as much this weekend, but I have other friends. It's kind of like everybody fell in on the same weekend, so I've been kind of pulled in different directions. And
he's being pulled down to the mic now so he can talk.
Yeah.
We hear him again.
I'm making love to the mic again.
Well, we've had a wonderful time. I mean, I know you've been busy with other friends and you can't do everything, but we still had a fairly good time at Gettysburg this time. If I could just get Carrie to do something, we'd be fine.
I think she should
she's
talk.
Away.
Yeah, that's exactly what she's going to do.
literally just got pushed in here.
She can walk away. She can walk away from this, but seems like the other day she couldn't turn around and walk away.
Yeah. You know, it seems earlier today I gave you guys some good advice on where to go.
Yes.
And then I get a text saying, well, I'm all by myself because those guys went back to the hotel and took a nap. So I don't want to hear any smack talking.
Well, you even sat there and watched what happened with with Carrie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. Yeah. I would have intervened, but I didn't know it was your brother.
It was Mr. Thumb.
Carrie's standing over there. He's just
looking red. She had some old guy kind of talking to her, holding her hand, put his hand on her shoulder. And I come out and I said, come on, Carrie, we got to go. It's time to go. Carrie just like a deer in headlights, just focused at this guy. He had her mesmerized.
Jeff, he kind of looked like Gargamel.
He showed me his business card. It said the Love Guru.
Do what?
She showed me his business card. It said the Love Guru.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
So I don't know what he was.
Oh, you probably captured that on the radio there. Carrie said you'll pay for that. So she actually talked.
Oh, no, I didn't hear it.
We'll get her in here to speak one way or another.
I think she should come in here.
The question from the chat is, did anybody go anywhere new on the battlefield this year?
Other than over at the Battlefield Brew Works, I don't think. Thursday, I got in late. Friday morning, we got up early and tried to do a little bit, but I'm telling you, it was like an explosion of tourists in this town.
Yes.
There was no way you was going to get out on the battlefield for number one, because it was all covered with tourists.
The weather changed, and I think it had a lot to do with it.
And they was doing a controlled burn over around the Devil's Den. And over in that area, so
that's a rather radical way to handle the tourists. You got too many; you can just ask them to leave.
So what Henry's trying to say is the tourists wore him out to the point where he had to take a nap instead of exploring new places.
You know what they say: immolation is the sincerest form of flattery, I guess.
We were all running from that fire.
And I run Bambi.
But that's the reason that we didn't really get out and try to go to places. They've done a lot of reworking the battlefield, cutting trees down, trying to, I guess, make it look like it did at the time of the battle. And Craig, you was telling us what they did over at Burnside's Bridge. They cut all kinds of stuff down and everything over there?
Well, we weren't at Burnside.
No, not Burnside Bridge.
That's in Antietam, so I really don't know.
Sax Bridge.
That Sprite bottle.
Sax Bridge.
We gotta wake Henry up again.
Over at Saxbridge. How's that sound?
Saxbridge, yes, yeah. We did talk about that earlier. Yeah. And they did cut all the trees down, which it looks absolutely horrible over there now.
So we didn't even make it over there. I'm sure that it was probably crowded with tourists. And they got so many tour buses coming in now, going out and parking, and I mean, just unloading people. So it's just hard to get out to actually, even if you go out to look at the places, you couldn't actually do any kind of EVP work or anything like it, because sound travels so much over there. And with all the people, it's going to pick it up. So it contaminates everything.
And now you know why every weekend I stop at the grocery store and I don't come out until Monday. It's too people-y here.
Too people-y.
No, but the wintertime is great. If you want to come to Gettysburg to do some really good ghost hunting, come in the winter. There's hardly any crowds, and you basically have the park to yourself.
Yeah. The weather's better, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, that says something about the importance of Gettysburg. So many places fall by the wayside. There's so many places that get forgotten about.
Yeah.
And the fact that there's a lot of people still wanting to visit Gettysburg is a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. And there's, you know, I've been here 5 years. I've been coming here since 1996. And I've probably seen maybe 50% of what there is to see here. That's the great thing about this place. You're always learning something new.
Yeah, there's all kinds of little hidden places where skirmishes were, or they was fighting that people hasn't been to or know about yet.
Or even, you know, people, one thing that always cracks me up, you know, even if I'm walking through town, somebody might pull over and say, yeah, where's the battlefield? Well, you're here.
Yeah.
Because the town was part of the battlefield. And if you go to a great place like the Shriver House, you really get a sense of the civilian life and what they went through and how the battle affected them. There's really a lot of cool places to see here in town.
Yeah, and speaking of that place, we went through it last year. Apparently, Craig goes through it quite a bit because the people there knows him so well that they was begging him to come and be one of the docents.
Well, I was going to ask, you know, all of these different skirmishes, all these different places.
The tour guide.
No. Who actually sits down and, I mean, people like Craig, obviously, who love the place and have an affinity for it, actually sits down and researches what exactly happened in one specific spot? Because there's so much going on, and how did you find that information out?
I would recommend, you know, especially people coming here for a weekend, there's so much to see. There's a great app by Destination Gettysburg. It's a free app. They have all kinds of events, places to stay, places to eat, kind of plan out what you want to do, because there's just not enough time to see everything.
Yeah, there's so many tiny little shops. And there's like four major streets here, and there's shops along just about every place. And so it actually takes almost 2 days just to walk through the town.
Yeah.
My aunt and uncle were here. They were here probably about 5 years. No, I wasn't living here yet. Before I moved here, they were here for an entire week, and they never made it out of town. There was so much to do. They never made it to the battlefield.
Wow, which is true. I mean, you got a lot of the history and stuff right here in the town. If you tried to go through everything and all the places that's tagged where things happened, it would probably take you that long.
Yeah, at least.
Yes, right.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting. So, Mike?
Yes.
Mike? You come here a lot, too.
Yes.
What's some of the things that places that you've been to that you like here?
Well, I like going to the battlefield, and like you were talking earlier about the Shriver House, I found that place particularly interesting, and I was even telling Craig earlier today that when I went down in the basement of that place where the original owner had kind of built it into a hotel bar, and it was used as a, I believe it was Confederate, wasn't it Confederate triage, Craig, or was it Union? I'm not sure which. That's Shriver House I'm talking about, where they used the basement
Confederates took over the house.
That's what I thought it was.
They trashed it.
Yeah. I actually was so overwhelmed with the emotion there that it actually upset my stomach. I mean, and this is not just this place. This place is full of places like that. That you can just, you don't even have to really investigate it, just go there and get stuff like that, feelings, emotions. This place is amazing, really is. I enjoy there. I've been to different places throughout Gettysburg. Even down where the Eisenhower Hotel is, there's a farmhouse right out front. It's also extremely haunted, excuse me. And that place, it's so haunted that, believe it or not, if you don't try to investigate while you're going through the building, if you like stop for a break or something, they'll actually start making noise, banging doors, running up and down steps just to keep you active. That's how active the spirits are there. That's another amazing place, but it's just, Gettysburg's so full of energy. It's a great place to visit and investigate.
Everywhere.
Yes, everywhere.
We got Don back with us. You got your headphone on? Okay.
Yes, I do.
All right. And you come here not by yourself this week.
No, my wife accompanied me. She's often come with me to Gettysburg. We honeymooned here. Many years ago.
But this is the first time she has come here to investigate.
That is correct. She's used to the paranormal from our house is very active. We're restoring an 1830s house in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done a few little things on our own, but to, you know, take part in a team investigation.
Now, we had you on before with your book, I Met a Ghost in Gettysburg, and I'd met you over at the Stewart Farm when they had an event there, and that was where I met you and your book, and got your book, and then we ended up getting you on the show.
Yeah, it was one of my earlier radio shows that I did. The book had just come out when we met.
Right. Well, it's a good book. And it starts out all about how you got into the paranormal with finding the house. And that was very interesting. So you started having, I guess, paranormal activity when you first got the house.
I was just like in awe, kind of like, no, this cannot be happening. I was questioning my sanity. I just had no interest in the paranormal up to that point. But, after a while, when some intelligent things happened, I realized I was dealing with an intelligent entity.
So your wife knows about the paranormal because she has seen and had those things happen to her in the house also.
Very much so. Your footsteps will have electronic things like radio stations changing. One of the favorite tricks is our radios will turn to a Cleveland Indian baseball game. And I'm a Tigers fan, so that doesn't go over.
So you come here to Gettysburg two or three times a year?
Yeah, at least. Maybe even a little more.
Because you bring your books and do talks and stuff Because your books are in most all the stores here? Or?
Yeah, when I did a paranormal book, I had no idea what to expect. And I've just been gratified by the acceptance, and people seem to like it, and I'm very grateful for that.
Well, that's great. We're glad that you guys come over. And you said your wife doesn't really like to talk on the radio, so I wasn't going to make her.
If she chose, she'd do a good job.
A little more retiring. She's come to Gettysburg with you quite a bit, but this is the first time she did an investigation. What did she think of doing the investigation?
She found it very interesting. Just, it was her first time using a K2 meter. Watching Mike and some of his equipment, she found that very interesting. That's what I did my first time watching Mike at an investigation. What's really odd is we got back to our hotel, and just on a lark, we were given a supposedly haunted room, and she turned on the K2. Yep, bonkers. Absolutely bonkers.
There
she
lays
it on the bed. She started taking pictures, and she took three photos quickly. In the middle photo, there are two and possibly a third orb right above the bed, right above the K2.
Yeah, I've seen those pictures. They're quite good.
Well, we got Pat McCormick back with us.
What hotel was that?
The Colton.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you realize that's all battlefield where those hotels are built. So all that ground had been fighting. And all of the hotels and motels in Gettysburg are haunted. I walked into the first one and just set a recorder in the bathroom, and 5 minutes later it was full. So, Henry, we've been out in Shepherdstown.
Shepherdstown,
we had that party in the room, and we got orbs while we're in the room. Equipment's going off, lights are going off, EMFs, spikes, and they were having a good time with us.
Oh, yeah. That was very active in your room.
Yeah, and Kat saw somebody walk through the wall, come through the wall, and go into my bathroom. And
there's something
that was
about bathrooms.
And I was like, "Hey, man, don't take all the toilet paper, you know?
Please don't squeeze
leave
the
me
charm
some.
In.
Yeah, you gotta leave me some." So they do haunt the hotels and motels here.
Yeah.
And Mike, and you remember you had the guy in your place?
Yes.
Your room was there was a guy outside the window, and then there was a guy that was inside messing with all of us.
Yes, definitely.
Now, Pat's usually with us most all the time when we come to Gettysburg. He missed last year, and well, he finally made it this year. But
yes, I did. A little late, but I'm here.
And Don, this is your first time actually coming out with us. On investigation.
Last year was my first.
The first one at the Fairfield Inn.
Yes. That was a very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that place is great. I mean, 1754 or something it goes back to. And, of course, the Battle of Fairfield happened out back. So, that's a good haunted place. I stayed in the, I think it's the Colonel Suite, the Three Colonel Suite there once. And that place, I put an EVP recorder down, and they knew what I was going to do later on that night. And they I didn't listen to it till after the night had gone. We went to the Stewart Farm, and that night I helped a lieutenant from Georgia and his men cross over. And when I get back later on, I pick up the EVP recorder I left at the early part of the night, listen to it, and the words "help lieutenant" are on there.
Wow.
Help the lieutenant.
Wow.
Yes, before I had even done anything. So yeah, that place is great.
Yeah, it is.
So how do you like going out with us and having a good time?
Oh, it is a good time. I mean, I learned a lot. There's some serious stuff, but there's a lot of fun, too.
A lot of laughing.
To me, life is way too short not to have fun.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. You have to enjoy this. If you don't, get out. Right, you know?
Exactly.
I mean,
now,
it's supposed to be fun.
Pat's with us at the Stewart Farm.
Yes.
When we was out in the barn.
Remember we saw the guy smoking?
Smoking.
This is one of the few places you can see guys smoking cigarettes.
Cigarette. You see them light up. You see the red.
Red thing go up and down. And if you don't see it with your own eyes, you wouldn't believe it.
Right.
I was dumbfounded. Yeah. I kept seeing these red dots down there.
Yep.
I'm looking around. Is there cameras going off doing something somewhere? Yeah. I'm looking, and I finally asked. I said, "Does anybody else see those red lights down there?"
Right,
because they would come on for a little bit, and then they'd go out,
just like puffing on a cigarette,
and then they'd come back on. Wow. And I said, "Does anybody see those?" They, "Oh yeah." I said, "Well, what are they?" They said, "The Confederate soldiers that are wounded are smoking."
Yep, that's right. Wow. That's right. Oh, then the way I found the lieutenant was I was looking up at the ridgeline outside, and I could see them in the ridgeline, the same thing, the cigarettes lighting up and going down. And I thought, is that a lightning bug, you know? But no, it's completely red, and it goes up and down. It doesn't blink like a lightning bug would.
Exactly,
so, you know, I had to go up there and check it out. Mm-hmm. And I've never seen that anyplace. You can see it there all the time.
Yes. Yeah.
It's very weird.
Yeah, it is. It's so strong here.
Yeah. Just because of the energy of those poor guys. And, you know, they're all young. A lot of young guys. There was one guy out in the field just crying. And I remember Tabby's like, he's beside himself. He's just has lost it, you know, and shell-shocked, or PTSD would be what we would call it today.
Yeah.
You know? So this kid was like a kid too. Mm-hmm. He wasn't 18.
Right, right.
He was like 14 or
15. Yeah, they didn't have age limits then. You know, if you could carry a weapon, you went out there.
Henry, I crossed a guy a few months ago over at the wheat field. I was in the woods at the wheat field, and the Union guys didn't want the Confederate guys to be going over with them. And I, you know, and the thing, the guy says, "Not, you know, not my time." And I replied, "Excuse me, you're not in charge here. These boys are going home just as much as you are. And if you don't want to go home, you can stay here. But I'm crossing these guys over. And if you don't like it, tough, I'm in charge." And some Confederate boy, now I don't get visions a lot. I never see things like Kat does. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, when I see something, a flash in my head, it's the real thing.
Yes.
And in my head, I saw a young boy who was so young. That struck me he might have been 16, but looked 12.
Yeah.
And he was laughing. He took his hat off, threw it in the air, ran toward the portal, and he was barefoot. I could see he was barefoot running through the woods.
Right.
And later I had another psychic confirm, yes, that was really, and told me his name, you know, and he was happy as hell just to be going home and woohoo, throwing the hat, you know, and barefoot. So they didn't have shoes. They really were looking for shoes.
A lot of the Confederates were barefoot.
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
Yes, they
were.
Well, that was what the whole thing with Gettysburg. They wasn't looking for shoes and clothing and stuff
Henry
like that.
Henry decided he wanted to go and look for some shoes.
Yeah.
And he asked A.P. Hill if he, you know, is it all right if I go check out some, you know, Gettysburg, look for some shoes?
And
absolutely.
And that's when they run into the Union.
That's right. That's when they run into John Buford's cavalry, which is stationed actually down Route 30 and gets them at about Marsh Creek. So they see these guys coming. They know trouble. You know, when they see it. So that's where it starts. And I love that side of town. People don't go there enough.
Yeah.
Where the battle started the first day. Right. The first day was so confusing and so much happened on both sides that there's just guys everywhere out there.
Right.
They seem to be learning about that because we went out there today and went out there with Craig.
Yeah.
And by the time we was driving out there, there was already cars lined up and people walking down through the woods toward the creek and stuff.
Yeah,
so,
they have learned about that area.
Yeah, so you just...
It's not like it used to be. People now know to go there.
Yeah.
And it used to be a place nobody went to.
Right.
You know? And you could go down in there and be by yourself.
So there's other places that's like that around that we can still find.
Oh, yeah.
And
be
where there's not going to be a lot of people at.
I get into some places on Round Top where the Confederates retreated after the second day. and they came halfway down, and there's a bunch of rocks and like a little cave down there. Mm. And that was a regrouping area for them and a hospital and kind of a, you know, command center.
Right.
And I go down there, I take people down there, and it's just a cool spot to go to. And not many people know about it. Now, of course, more people go down there, and there's a trail now, and, you know, but it used to be the spot where you could just be by yourself.
Right.
And you could get an EVP, especially in the cave, you know, and we crossed a bunch of guys from Texas over. And clearly the word Texas, you know, on several recorders, you know, so it just they're in there.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's areas where people don't get out of their car and go investigate that you can get into and find all kinds of good stuff like that. Yeah, Henry, there's still some more left around here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. Well, our time seems to be just run right on by so quick.
Right.
We haven't got a chance to do a lot.
Yeah.
It's Miller time.
Yeah.
But I want to thank everybody that's been with us. Craig, you can't go yet because we're getting off. You can't go nowhere. You just have to wait till I get off. That's all there is to it.
No, well, that is that time then.
You have Craig to wait. Are you kidding me? He was going to say something. He refuses to.
I do want to thank Craig and Mike and Don and I don't know what's your name. Oh, Pat.
My name is Pat. I'm a paranormal holic.
And I want to thank you guys all for taking the time to chat with us a little bit about.
Yeah, always glad to be on the show, Henry. Yeah,
me too.
Of course.
Yeah. Great experience.
I always enjoy being here.
Appreciate it.
It's a laugh.
It is. It is. It's a wonderful time.
Kat Cloco said to tell you hi. She misses you too.
We miss Kat, definitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She would be giving you some crap right about now.
Probably.
So, yeah, that's what we miss, Kat.
Yeah. Wish you were here.
Yeah, we do. But let's see. We're down to 3 minutes. Barbara, you got some quick questions? Or Jeff?
No.
Jeff. You can follow. No?
What is the rainfall in the Amazon basin during the summer?
The $500 question is
ding.
I'm getting into a time lag.
Well, we're about done, Jeff, so you don't have to worry about the time lag then.
Well, I was just going to say you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Real Badger, RealBadger, and my Bucky short film, which is close to finishing post-production, you can follow at Twitter, Bucky_film, and on Facebook, Bucky Film, and like it and follow it and stuff.
All right. Is that all? Nothing else?
I didn't tell Craig I'm on Lethal Weapon on Tuesday night on Fox. You should see me anyway. I'm in the wedding reception-y thing with a lot of weird people.
Jeff had something to tell you, and you didn't get to hear it.
We all just looked at Craig.
Craig didn't have headphones on.
Dang, damn it.
So we'll make sure that he knows it. So again, I want to thank everybody for taking time to be with us tonight, and I want to thank Pam for letting us do the show here from the Ghost Exchange.
Nice
and,
hat.
You like that hat?
I like that hat.
I've been wearing it an awful lot.
Really?
Yeah, that might be time for an oil change. But
I've been getting reports about things happening in Ohio.
Anyway, with that, we want to thank everybody for taking time to listen tonight. And next week, come back. I don't remember if it's next week or the week after, but
we have a show next week.
It's the week after, I believe, Bruce Tango will be on with us.
Oh,
oh boy.
Sponsored by Walgreens.
Yes. So with that, I think we're going to jump off so I can start packing everything up. Yeah. And I want to thank everybody for listening, not just in the chat room, but from around the world. Appreciate each and every one of you. So with that, this is Henry Foister.
Jeffrey Gould.
And we will see everybody next week. So good night, everybody.
The views expressed.